What's going on, everybody? That's right. It's a brand new podcast brought to you by Cheesehead TV and 97.3 The Game. I am Aaron Nagler, and I am joined by my new co-host. Say what?
Let's Bill ride.
Smith. Bill, what's going on, buddy?
Nags, I'm glad that we're finally doing this, dude. I could not be more excited to, one, be hanging out with you as much as we're going to, and two, getting to talk about how frustrating NFL Plus has already made Game Pass, which had continued to tank for the last, like, 5 years. So, is this going to be a good time?
You see, this is exactly why I wanted to do this podcast with you, because you know, you're one of us. You're one of those people who you like to go and look at the coach's film. You like to look at the all 22 and break it down. And you know the pain that, especially just the knowledge of what NFL Rewind, Game Rewind, when they very first launched, was an amazing product. And then they slowly bastardized it, made it terrible, put it into Game Pass, put it in NFL.com. And now we've got the NFL Plus iteration, and just gets worse every single year.
The craziest thing is, for just to want to watch more football and consume more NFL football, you wouldn't think they'd try to make it as frustrating to view more NFL football than they do. But sweet Lord, they've decided to continue to frustrate us. But I just got a sick, twisted love affair with this league. I mean, like,
It is the worst relationship.
Yes,
and they take advantage of it.
Exactly. They take advantage of it every single time. There's some songs about it, you know, like, I wish I didn't let my friends know how much you mean to me. That's the NFL for me.
That's 1,000%. Well, you know, for those of you who are like, who are these yahoos? What are they talking about? It's Beer and Ball. That's our new podcast, because that's what we're going to do here. We're going to drink beer and we're going to talk about some fucking football. You know, there's lots of other outlets talking about all sorts of other nonsense, including here at Cheesehead TV. I ain't shying away from it. We dabble in a lot of other subjects, you know, but this podcast will be about football. That's what we want to talk about. And, you know, I think since we're probably, you know, mostly at the moment, initially, probably being viewed and listened to by Cheesehead TV folks, I probably have a few folks out there going, who the hell is Bill Schmidt? So, Bill, I want you to give us the 30,000-foot view here and what your background is, how you came to love the game of football. I know you played at one point. Can you tell folks about that? And then how you ended up at 97.3 The Game and what your kind of path there was.
So, I love that. So, first off, I started as a pear-shaped youth going to games with my dad. My dad had, through a roundabout way, uncle used to own a bar in Milwaukee. Right. Oh, hell yeah. So as a bar in Milwaukee would have in the 80s was like 40 something tickets to the Packers games when they were there, because it was easy to have large quantities. Right.
Yes, so, it was.
So my uncle kind of, you know, distribute them around, and everybody would have, you'd have your two, you'd have your two. And my pops kept them to this day. He said for a long time, he'd sit there on the hill and be like, if I can ever get in there, I'm going to keep them tickets forever. So I was a 6-year-old kid when I first got to go to my first game, Packers Eagles, a 6-3 barn burner in 2000.
Oh yeah, baby. I remember that game.
You remember
That's awesome. But wow, you were there.
Remember the second game that I was at a little bit better. That was the, he did what game? And Randy Moss.
Oh, nice. Oh, hell yeah.
Randy Moss, Antonio Freeman, Favre, everybody going at it on Monday night. Catches off the back. It was fantastic. So, man, I was hooked ever since.
For that game. You were at Lambeau, so that's good.
I had an ear infection, and I was asking my dad, why are people leaving? The game's not over. Well, they think they're going to kick a game-winning field goal. It's going to be over, son. So that's what people do, beat traffic. So I did that for, you know, all of elementary school, middle school, just continued to be the bigger nerd that would watch any kind of NFL. Mine was NFL matchup. With Sal Palantonio, Merrill Hodge, and everybody. So I'd wake up at 7 on game day. Right after that, it went to the 96 VHS tape, watch it before the Packers game, and roll through from there, right? Because I couldn't remember it personally. I was born in 94. Sure. So I've just been hooked ever since, man. I played high school ball at Whitnall, grew up in the Milwaukee area, Greenfield, and then really decided to have a life-altering decision and move to Waukesha for college, because it was like 15 miles away. It was going to be crazy.
Monster move.
It was great. It was wild, Nags. I mean, talking to somebody that decided to go all the way to the big city in the East Coast.
Yeah.
Crazy move for me.
Yep. Waukesha.
Luckily, played at Carroll for a few years. It worked out perfect because I was able to intern at a station that's now defunct, FM 1250 at the time.
R.I.P.
And that was the first gig I got in radio. Was there, started interning my freshman year of college, was there through into 2020, and then got picked up by the game after the pandemic to keep talking some football. And I worked with just about everybody at the station.
Awesome.
And now it's led to the chance of a lifetime, they would say, to be able to say the Packers radio network. So I mean,
I was going to say, and for meteoric. Those watching or listening at home that you aren't aware, Bill is the co-host of the post-game show there on the Packers radio network. You got to check it out. Each and every game, co-hosting with Drew Olson, good mm-hmm. buddy of mine, and somebody that Cheesehead TV fans and listeners and viewers will know very well from both my hits with his show, and then also we used to have Drew and KB on during our post-game stuff here at Cheesehead TV.
Yes.
It's very incestuous between Cheesehead TV and the game, but as you said,
it's all about
football in this podcast from here on out. And let's dive into it. Let's dive into this team that the Packers have assembled in 2022. So far, we got two preseason games in the book. We got a handful of camp practices. You've been there in and out, both at practice and the games. Overall impression, let's start at 30,000 foot view. Mm-hmm. As far as, is there anything, and there might not be, but is there anything that you've seen live or, you know, at the games or maybe watching the preseason game in San Francisco, etc., that has surprised you or is different than what you expected coming in, as far as all sorts of narratives form in an offseason, right? Like
sure.
throughout the summer, you're talking about XYZ, and it's like you have all these maybe preconceived notions about what the team is going to look like. And then maybe you get to practice or you get to these games and things are a little bit different than you expected. Is there anything in that regard, or is it mostly kind of, nope, this is kind of what I thought we'd see when camp arrived?
A little bit. I think the number one thing that jumps out is the want to pass the football, and right, like the fact that many people thought that they were just immediately going to go all 49ers outside wide zone,
button it up, yep,
just
right,
hammer down on play action, and that was going to be it. Like, that's just not how they're going to play ball. I think the biggest one,
Aaron Rodgers is in town, that's for damn sure.
Amen. Now your buddy Matt, I think, would like to. I think he would prefer to run the ball a little bit more, but the part of it that I was excited about, which I didn't think we'd see a lot of, was the amount that AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones have worked together, right? Like,
yes,
they're your
yes.
two, Aaron, they're your two best players on offense outside of the quarterback, right? Like,
yep.
as much as Alan Lazard has flashed, as much as we all like Robert Tonyan, they're your two best playmakers. So the amount that they've seemingly been on the field together has surprised me. I knew that they were going to move Aaron Jones a little bit around,
right,
but they've
right.
been very open to having those two on the field, which I think is it's a great development for the team because they're going to need to, right? Like, those guys are going to need
Absolutely.
To touch the ball a ton. And I did think that they were going to temper that expectation a little bit.
Well, and what I love about it is, as a defensive coordinator, how do you react to that? Right. I mean,
totally.
I'm sure as the season goes on, there'll be a little bit of tendency kind of information gathering, but especially early in the year, like, do you respond in base? Are you going nickel? Do you want to line? Like, how do you match up? Are you matching up with two backers on those guys? You're asking for trouble then.
Amen.
Or do you want safeties? And then all of a sudden it's, you know, let's say they put Aaron Jones in motion in that kind of orbit motion role, and then, you know, pound AJ Dillon between the tackles. I mean, there's so many different ways that they can attack you with those guys.
Totally.
Where if you're a DC, you're thinking, okay, like, obviously I got to protect the pass first because it's the quickest way to the end zone. But, you know, there's zero doubt, especially with what we've seen so far in camp, that they'll be more than happy if you want to sit back and protect so deep stuff, so to speak. They'll just run AJ up your gut. I mean,
totally.
I think to me, that's the most exciting part of those two being on the field together.
And like how you're saying it for however long Aaron's the quarterback, right? Like there's a point in every great quarterback's lifetime. Now, Brady hasn't had it as successfully, but he won't tell you that they won Super Bowl 53 because of the run game.
Right.
Bro, you scored 13 points. All right. You won because you ran the football.
Because Fournette would rip off 5-6 yards per rush.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. They were not the same team back in 2020 until they started running it. So, I mean, Manning goes through this. Elway goes through it. All of them do that. A good run game is going to make your job easier. Don't make your job harder, right? Like, that's the number one rule of football. Don't make my job any harder, because then everybody else's job becomes more difficult if I don't do it.
Right.
With the matchups that they can provide and take, I mean, teams are going to want to run dime, like you're saying, against Dillon and Jones. Thank you very much. I mean,
good luck.
Those road graders are just going to go all over you, especially if Jenkins and Bakhtiari are on the squad to start out right away and play in week one or two.
I mean, let's talk about that for a second here, because the offensive line has been an interesting kind of a petri dish, I guess you could say,
no doubt.
Camp, as far as who they've run out there with the ones, right? We've seen everything from, you know, even Cole Van Lannen, if you want to go back to OTAs, you know, was running with the ones at times. We haven't seen that in camp, I would say, thank goodness. But we have seen, you know, Royce Newman at tackle quite a bit. You know, we've seen Jake Hansen at guard, which is something I never want to see in any game that matters. But we've also seen Zach Tom out there, and the rookie has certainly shown out. Where do you think, as far as where do you stand when it comes to Jenkins? Because I know online, especially, there's a lot of chatter about what the best five really is, right? And where Jenkins should be playing. And the thought process seems to be, you know, there's a split between, play him at tackle, which is apparently what the Packers are planning on doing, if and when he joins them for the team aspect of stuff. Or, you know, no, we've got to play him at guard because that's his position, and that's where he you know, wasn't all or a Pro Bowler, and that's where he should play.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to know where you come down. I might put him at right tackle. The position is too important. And I don't really see a great reason to keep him at guard, especially with how well Runyon's played at left guard.
Runyon has played him right out of that spot. Right now, like, if he could play right guard and walk in and just be an all pro too, then okay, then we can have a conversation. But shit just ain't that easy, right? Like, especially when you're training to be on the outside, wanting to be on the outside. And that's another part of this that has to be involved. And I don't like to, because people don't want it to be about money. Sometimes this business is about some money. Right.
Yeah, like, it is. And he's going to make a hell of a lot more at tackle than he is at guard.
Those checks at guard just ain't the same as those ones when you're playing on the outside.
Direct deposit hits different, man.
Oh,
I'm telling you.
Man, when you're signing that deal and it says 18 and then six zeros instead of 8 and then six zeros, there's a conversation to be had. So I don't think he's going to want to go inside. I think he's going to want to play outside. Right. And I also think playing him at right tackle is more important for this part, Nags, if indeed Bakhtiari is not ready to go, right? Like, now the conversation with him being good or cleared off the PUP, that doesn't mean that he's good, right? Like, that doesn't mean that he's ready to go and play. That means now we can have him practice and see how his knee holds up. Like, that's the weird part about this, and the frustrating one is there's still a 21-day grace period before they can put him on IR. And save him for another four games and still activate him. So I think that's why I want Elton tackle.
If you're talking
Bakhtiari
about
can't play, then he goes over to left.
Well, no, but that's the thing, though. But Bakhtiari, now that he's practiced, he can't go on PUP for the regular season. Like,
no, he'd have to go on IR.
He'd have to go on IR, which I can't imagine they're going to do. Like, you know, possibly, like, to your point, maybe they put him on IR and then they bring him back, right? Man, who knows? You kept hearing David at his lockers talking about taking it day by day, which they probably truly are, as opposed to like where we get a lot of lip service in that regard. Maybe they are. But yeah, to your point, it's like I feel fine starting Yash at left tackle week one, especially if Jenkins is at right tackle, right? I mean, that's at least something I can work with. Whereas now, if you got Yash at left tackle and Newman at right tackle heading into Minnesota, and Za'Darius Smith licking his chops, I'm not feeling great about it.
Well, and I don't know what, because we don't get to see their film of practice and everything like that. Right. We get to see it on the side while we're hanging out with people that buy tickets. But the part that's tough is they obviously have seen something that Zach Tom's not ready to play a game out at right tackle. Right. Now, I don't think he can play an entire season. But Nags, I think he can play a game. I think he could save you for sure. For a game, the way he's
and that's probably what they're thinking, right?
Right.
I mean, you would think.
Because Royce Newman,
no sir,
great hair, nice guy,
no sir,
cannot play right tackle. Should not be playing right tackle.
I don't
now when they moved him inside. When they moved him inside, that one cut up that Ben Fennell did of Tom and Newman driving him to the turf. Hey, that looks sweet. That looks nice.
I'm down with that.
I'm down to clown with that.
I can.
Yes. Amen to that. Amen to that. Because totally down. I think Zach Tom's got a chance to be a real player for them for a while.
I totally agree.
But I also think that they're trying to put him through the TJ Lang curriculum. And
Nice pull.
They're going to make you play every position, show that you can play every position.
Well, remember, what's so funny is TJ was a disaster at tackle. I don't think people remember.
Yeah, it was rough.
Like a complete disaster. Mike Wall went through the same thing. Mike Wall was an absolute catastrophe at tackle and then became an all-pro guard. Like sometimes you just fit where you fit, you know? It's like, but I think I'm with you on Zach Tom as far as like, yeah, you're just making sure that what you have got and seen in practice is holding up in the games. And so far that is
right.
I mean, both games, he has looked outstanding out there at tackle. And yeah, to your point, I don't think you want him as your full-time week one, like go from week one through hopefully the playoff run tackle, right? As your starter, but injuries are going to happen. That's life in the NFL. And it certainly looks like you've got a guy who can step in and you don't have to change the offense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't have
like
to.
You remember like the days of Jason Spriggs coming in, and it was just like look out on third down was like a prayer. Basically.
All lookout blocks. All those blocks. Turned around saying, Aaron.
Aaron.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that one, buddy.
We don't want that.
The part of it that's the thing that about Tom that's funny, and this is super nerdy offensive line.
That's
fat
what we're
stuff.
Talking about. Yeah, let's go.
No doubt. I'm glad that I can finally do this.
Beer and ball, baby.
I'm not apologizing for being nerdy about it either.
No,
how about
sir.
This one? I love the fact that for Tom, a smaller dude is probably better on the outside than he would be on the inside.
Dude, it's insane, right?
It's so weird. You're not supposed to be able to do that. He's like 6'4", 304, and he's great outside.
What?
Probably wouldn't like him on inside, though.
But that's the thing. Like, when you're standing there on the sideline, I'll never forget the first practice where I watched him and I was like, I saw he wasn't even playing. He was just standing on the sideline watching the ones. And I was like, that guy's going to play tackle? Like there's nothing about his physical makeup that says NFL tackle at all.
Looks more like defensive tackle.
Yeah, maybe. Right. Exactly. But he's just, but then he gets out there and as far as how he moves and his hand usage and his footwork and he just looks like an absolute natural. It's so it's bizarre.
His hands are really, really good. That's the biggest part. And man, that's what made Dave really, really good. Dave can move his feet, but when Bakhtiari gets his hands on you, they're not coming off. And and that's not a hold. That's these are locked in on your chest. You're not going anywhere.
Not going anywhere. Wait, I can't believe. Wait a second, sir. We are 18 minutes and 45 seconds into this podcast, and we have not discussed your thoughts on Jordan Love. I think we are contractually obligated as a Packers podcast to talk about Jordan Love. There. I mean, I don't know. I that's on me as the man who is driving this thing. I can't believe I didn't lead with that. Sir,
everyone's getting
thoughts?
A refund. Yeah, everyone's getting a refund.
Absolutely. This podcast is completely free for everybody who's watching and listening because we did not start with Jordan Love. I kid a little bit, but holy cow. What? I mean, did we just forget everything that anybody ever learned during their transition from Favre to Rodgers? Like, and just as clarification, I am not saying Jordan Love is Aaron Rodgers. He never will be. No one expects him to be. But can we let it play out and can we let the kid develop and can we not completely condemn him before we watch what he does on the football field? Because like, wow, there are camps there online where people are ready to burn this kid like down no matter what he does.
Mistake. Yes. No
it
doubt.
Blows
about it.
My mind.
The other part of it, Nags, that I just don't understand is the thought process from like, not believing there can be improvement, right? Like now, if you disagree with the improvement and how important it is, then I can get down with that a little bit and I can have the conversation. Mm-hmm. But there's more people that, to your point, decided in 2020 that he stinks on ice. And in 2021, when he played in Kansas City and didn't play well, especially in the first half. I thought in the second half, definitely did some better things.
I thought he improved. Like, definitely.
He started getting better. He had only played nine quarters of NFL football. Like, he came into the NFL as a project, and is a project. Like, this is where I get, I laugh at people with Mac Jones, because people said Mac Jones was the most pro ready quarterback. Not a great season, right? Now going into year two, everyone's like, well, we all messed up. He should have been the number one pick. He was way better than all these other guys. No, he was better young. Those guys have more talent. Jordan has a lot of talent, and he
needs tons of talent. Yes.
He needs to have a guy like, hopefully, Tom Clements, at least seems early like maybe Tom Clements, to clean up his footwork and teach him some more confidence. Because when he throws those balls on time and with some confidence, I think LaFleur said violently was the way that he was throwing the ball.
Right.
He just looks more decisive. And that's going to be the biggest thing, is how clear and how long does it take for him to be very confident in everything he does. It seems like he's slowly getting more and more confident in some of the important stuff. But the more and more time that he gets on the field, and again, playing football, because the guy really didn't play a ton. He played two big years at Utah State, had a coaching change, and that kind of messed with his head. So,
Oh, and lost a bunch of guys, like
a ton, dude. NFL
him,
guys.
As far as like his supporting guys. Yeah, 100%. 100%.
So you, like, you need some time to breathe.
To me, it's like, it's just go back. And this is what I tell people all the time. Go back and watch Aaron Rodgers his first two summers.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about a guy who just did not engender any kind of confidence. I'll never forget all the people ready to burn Aaron Rodgers at the stake his first two summers. Those camp practices especially. People were just like, nope, he'll never be Brett, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't need to be Brett. And look, Jordan doesn't need to be Aaron. I understand we have been spoiled as a fan base for now, like, decades, right? Mm-hmm. I get it.
And that's not a bad thing to admit.
No, and it's fine. Yep. And there's a standard that we have gotten used to. But look, you've got to be ready for whatever is next, whether that's Jordan or somebody else. Like, you're never going to get Aaron Rodgers again, just like you're never going to have Brett Favre again. Hopefully, also, we'll never get guys like, you know, Jim Zorn or David Whitehurst or
Mitch
Campbell again. You know what I mean? Like, but can we let the kid develop and just actually talk about what we see on the field? That's all I care about. Like, and you cannot, unless you are blind and or refusing to look at the evidence, you can't look at that performance on Friday night, look at the performance in San Francisco, and say, look, there's a jump from week to week, let alone from last year to this year. And that's what you want. What blows my mind.
I wanted to see this week, I wanted to see Jordan tuck it under and believe in his feet. First play of the game. First play of the game. Great chance. Going, does it. Right? I wanted to see him, again, test more deep balls off the line of scrimmage. Because Dobbs can beat people off the line of scrimmage. Now he can beat.
Holy cow, this kid.
Yeah, oh I mean, gosh. He can. I'm excited to see if he can beat ones and twos off the line of scrimmage. But he's beating threes and fours off the line of scrimmage. That's a good thing. So go and give him a chance. He does that. So, One of my really good friends does post games in San Francisco, and huge Niner fan, right? And everybody immediately says, "Wow, look at the Niners. They had Montana and then Young, and then what did they have? They had crap. Well, not really. I mean, they had Jeff Garcia, who went to a couple of Pro Bowls, right? Yeah. Like, it's not a Hall of Famer first ballot guy,
but he could play at a pretty damn high level in the NFL.
Yeah,
that's pretty damn impressive.
And he could play in the playoffs, right? Like, so
I
urge people to not make these sweeping validations on quarterbacks. And I say validations because Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Baker Mayfield, everybody wanted to give almost $100 million to.
Oh, man.
Right? Like, it's either the guy is great, we've locked in, let's give him $100 million. Now it's $200 million, and it's fully guaranteed. Or it's, this guy stinks, go back into the draft. See if there's a middle ground somewhere, because the middle ground does not keep you out of the playoffs and does not keep you from playing winning football.
No, 100%. I couldn't agree more. Well, we talked about, Jordan Love, right? And you were mentioning the twos and threes and fours, and I get all that. Yeah. So that brings me to the starters and the kind of the topic du jour, so to speak. And maybe by the time people are listening to this, Matt LaFleur has announced it, so who knows? But where do you, Bill Schmidt, football guy, where do you stand on the question, do you play the starters on Thursday night in Kansas City? Because I know, wow, the media, my friends and former colleagues in the media will not let this shit go. And my brothers in Christ, I am so sick of, is Aaron going to play? Are the starters going to play? What are you going to do, coach? Are we going to play? My God. Okay, I'm just going to tell you where I stand first, and then I'll let you answer. Good. But for where I'm at, man, you really think two series in Kansas City, which is probably what they'd end up playing, is really going to make a difference now, especially since they have another week off. They have that mini bye, and then they come back and start getting ready for Minnesota, and then they kick it off in Minnesota. You really think that, like, 8-12 plays you play in Kansas City is going to make a difference? Like, I just, to me, it's not the, you talk about risk reward, it is not worth it. And I understand, you know, last year's debacle in week one certainly plays into a lot of fans thinking, but man, I'm sitting here and I'm saying it's a long ass season. There's another game now. It's not even 16 games. It's 17 games.
Yep.
Man, you do not want to put your starters anywhere near that preseason contest.
Aaron, it's 17 games, and for some ridiculous reason, you get the first bye week before week one. Right? Like, that's the part of it that I don't get.
Right.
Right? Like, it's a longer season. We don't separate it out. So it's going to be tougher either way. There's also, like, 2.5 weeks between Kansas City and September 11th. So how much does that carry over? I'm with you. I don't think a whole hell of a lot. Yeah. I am in the camp, though, that if you're going to, as Matt LaFleur apparently said, we're going to have all our guys, right? All our guys are going to get their jerseys on. We're going to practice. We're going to have a warm-up. We're going to get ready for our game day experience and then make the determination there. No. If I'm getting dressed, I'm playing in the game. From my standpoint, I'm also with the quarterback here. I ain't playing three plays and going back.
Right.
In, right.
Like, if you're going to play,
then play us play a series, a quarter, play a couple play series, a half, play a quarter and get that out of the way and have it off the table. I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense, especially with the joint practices. Now, joint practices are better than preseason games.
10 like, times better. Yes.
Dude, totally agree. Being there and seeing the physicality, the way, sure. They're not going to the ground. Guess what? That's for the birds, right? Like it's practice. These dudes are professionals.
Practice. They'll talk about practice. Ground.
Yeah. Right. So I prefer the joint practice where I don't have to worry about young Thaddeus Moss making a legal play and spraining my guy's MCL for 3 or 4 weeks, where I can keep everybody up. Nobody goes to the ground. Nobody gets hurt. Those are three wins for a preseason game.
100%.
I'm not playing any of those 30 guys. Now, maybe like a Christian Watson, if he's ready for team drills and you want to get him out there, then
especially with all the time he's missed. I get it. Like, I get it. But dude, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up because this is beer and ball, and we're gonna talk some ball here that maybe isn't Packers related. But can we just stop with this dirty play idea? Are you fucking kidding me? I couldn't believe it. I didn't watch the game live, but I woke up and my entire Twitter feed was like a seemingly split between like, no, this is football, and no, this is a dirty play. Like, that is football 100%. Not only is it legal, it's like the guy is doing exactly what he's been coached to do. It's not his fault that, you know, the rookie
curls up,
hedges his bet. I don't know what he's doing.
Good
there.
Way to put it.
But like, yo, that's football. He is 100% in the right to do what he does. And everyone's saying he's, quote, aiming for the knee. He's like, if you watch it, he's diving for his thigh pad. Just like he's been taught, it's not his fault the offensive player changes his stance. That's not on the defensive player.
No, Kayvon Thibodeau's got to either get out of the way, move his right leg that gets caught up underneath, or say, all right, bet, you want to go low, I'll go lower. Exactly.
Well, there's the other thing. There's the other thing. Mm-hmm. What have we been taught in football since football began, since I was born, since I knew how to talk about football and what the sport was all about? Low man wins.
Amen.
Low man wins.
Yep. Still about
that. Low man wins. And like low man won.
Yeah. And you're going to get upended. Like a cut block is either going to take out, as you say, the thigh and just blow through somebody. take out somebody's shin, which really isn't going to be all effective because he's going to laugh at you and probably go make the play.
You just jump right over you and go make the tackle. Exactly.
But instead, Thibodeau's like, I could jack this guy up, or maybe I'll stay here and oh, now my knee's up underneath me. Like, I hate the guy got hurt. I absolutely hate that young, cool players get hurt.
But you know who gets hurt? Football players. Mm-hmm. Every single day.
Every week.
Every week. Football.
And I can't feel bad for Kayvon Thibodeau and not feel bad for Thaddeus Moss, because that cat's trying to make a team, right? Like, Kayvon's got a signing bonus of $20 million. I'm not all that worried about for him.
And he's doing what he's coached to do.
Yes.
Like, I just.
Daboll said it, I think, right after the game. He's like, we got like six plays. That's exactly what's supposed to happen to our guy, too. So,
1,000,000,000%.
We're not upset about it. Can't be.
No, nor should they be. I'm very glad he said that. All right, Bill, this half hour has flown by. I mean, we may make this an hour long going forward. Who knows? But for the inaugural maiden voyage, I think a half hour is good. And it's been great talking ball with you and drinking some beer. And
I've loved every second.
Every week we're going to be doing this.
No doubt about it. And the other part of it that I'm excited for is, we can still gripe about line play and somebody won't make the sick joke of, let's get the fat guy's idea about it. Because, I mean, let's be honest, that's one of the only reasons why people like listening is, this guy actually cares about the 300-pounders? Nobody else does. You do, and you're not big. That's a good thing.
Well, I don't know. It depends on, I don't know. I'm getting bigger. How about that? I'm working towards it.
How about this? You're not in mid-season form yet.
Not yet.
Everybody gains a good 20 pounds during football season.
That's
how it goes. Well,
I'll be basically sitting here drinking beer for the next 6 months. So yeah, you're not off. You're not off at all.
Isn't this life stupid that we get to do? We get to come on here and talk to people about the Packers. It's so much fun.
I love it. I love it so much. Bill Schmidt, you can catch him at 97.3 The Game post-game show every week on the Packers Radio Network. That's what I'm talking about. Bill, thanks so much, buddy. I'll talk to you next week.
Later, Nags.